step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You are listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome. This is Viral Podcasting, show number 34. I'm Carrie Lutz. And, you know, podcasting boils down to it's a journey. Every podcaster has a different journey, a different story to tell, and a different level of success achieved, at least to the present time. Person I've known for a long time, before even he became a sensation, and that's hard to believe because it feels like it's been forever, is a guy by the name of John Lee Dumas. And his podcast is EO Fire, Entrepreneur on Fire. And John, hey, it's great to have you on the show.
Kerry, I'm fired up. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was you, myself, Cliff Ravenscraft, and I think eight other people in this 10-person podcast mastermind that Cliff ran. And just, I can remember that so well. Like hearing your voice actually brings me back to like how I felt during like that moment in my life, which was before I even launched the podcast. And there's just like all this trepidation and didn't know it. And so then it's just crazy to think, you know, here we are, 6-7 years later, still talking into microphones, loving what we do.
Yeah. And that's the key, because I know about you, but I've had careers that I really didn't like that paid me a lot of money for doing stuff that I hated. And to finally have a career that I can make an honest living on and hopefully impart some words that make a difference in some way, in ways that you never even understand, it's really a privilege more so than a career or a job.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit in the pre-interview chat as well. You know, when I was coming up with a concept to launch Entrepreneurs on Fire, and, you know, I was really hoping it was going to work so I could leave that exact situation that you were talking about, where I was getting paid a lot of money, but I didn't like the job X, Y, Z, and I wanted to do this full time. And everybody's like, well, John, you can do it, but don't do a daily show. You just can't do it. You'll get burnt out. And Kerry was like, well, wait a second. I do multiple shows per day sometimes. John, if you want to do a daily show, you can get it done, brother. Believe me. It's just a matter of if there's a will, there's a way. And you were that validation when everybody, even Cliff, to his credit, Cliff, he'll admit it.
No.
He was saying, John, don't do it. And I'm glad that I didn't listen to the 99.9% of people and, saw people like you who were doing it and saying, hey, come on, if Kerry can do it, I can too.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, the reason why I started, I was working 7 days a week when I started this 7 years ago. And I was putting out 3 to 4 segments a day, which was pointless. I was cannibalizing my own episodes. But, you know, I knew that I wasn't very good at it. And the only way to get good at this stuff is to do it and keep doing it and doing it. You seem to have had like a little bit of a, I don't want to say head start, but you had a knack for it, a talent for it, that maybe you didn't need quite as much development as myself or others.
Oh, but I needed it, and I needed it. And I will say, you know, maybe I did have a little more gift and gab than your average person. And I always did, you know, enjoy speaking and public presentations and being a military, an officer in the U.S. military. I was very used to kind of talking in front of rooms full of people and doing all these type of things. But the reality is, man, I am such a believer in do the work. And for me, I was not going to become a good podcast host doing 4 episodes a month, which was once a week. I just wasn't going to become good.
No.
But I knew doing it every single day, a daily show, I had a chance to get a little bit better every single time. And Kerry, just about a month from when you're, no, even like 3 weeks from when you and I are talking right now, I hit my 2000th episode. I'm pretty fired up about it.
That's pretty wild. Hey, I should say, go to John's site, eofire.com. There's a lot of free information there, a lot of ways that you can get started in podcasting. Doesn't cost a lot of money. He's got some pay options, but trust me, if you're starting this business, unless you've been in radio, and even then, if you've been doing it for a long time, you still need help to adjust to this format. So John, you know, you've been outrageously successful in this. You've helped others to become successful. Talk about that military discipline, how that figured into the equation.
Oh, it was huge, brother. But real quick, I do want to also mention the thing I'm probably most proud of when it comes to teaching people podcasting is I've had over 40,000 people now take my completely free podcasting course. So you can just visit freepodcastcourse.com. Won't cost you a penny to learn how to create, grow, and monetize your podcast. Very proud of that. But discipline to me was something I did not have going into my military career. But the reality is, the timing of my existence happened to be in 2002, 2003, when I graduated college and was the first round of commissioned officers post 9/11. So although I lacked discipline for most of my life up to that point, I did recognize that if I didn't get some discipline into my life pretty quickly, I was potentially going to die because I was going to war. That was certain. And I did spend 13 months in Iraq as an armor platoon leader in charge of 16 men and 4 tanks. And let me tell you, if you're not disciplined, you cannot command 16 men and 4 tanks in a time of war. So I had to grow up quick. I had to learn responsibility quick. I had to get over, you know, my irresponsibility quick. And I had to, you know, really become disciplined. And it wasn't easy. But one thing that's great about the military is you learn from those who are above you in rank, and they've gone through the same trials and tribulations that you're about to go through. So I was able to do that on the job training and learn from others who, you know, frankly pulled me aside and said, John, hey, I remember I used to do toga parties in college as well, but that's behind you now. This is what you need to do to become more disciplined. So they taught me productivity. They taught me how to be, you know, productive on a day-to-day basis. They taught me how to be disciplined, you know, be a disciple to a plan of action, and then how to focus, how to follow just one course until success. Because if I didn't have those three skills, then I just wasn't going to be able to become a successful leader of men in a time of war. So discipline was really forced and hammered into me at a very young age.
Hey, and discipline, a lot of times it isn't just doing a set task over and over again, but it's using a set of circumstances to overcome your fear and to accomplish things that you didn't believe you could possibly do. And you're a perfect example of that in what's happened in your podcast career since then.
Thank you. And, you know, I definitely do look back and say, man, like when I left the military and I joined corporate America, day one, I was shocked. I'm like, man, people are showing up 20 minutes late. They're spending all their time at the water fountain, gabbing about something. I'll never forget when I was at the copy machine one day running some photocopies, a dude walked up to me and said, John, you got to slow down. Like, you're making too many phone calls. Like, you're closing too many deals. Like, you're making us look bad. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm making you look bad? I'm like, you're making you look bad. And I just really was shocked at that type of mentality that was happening and what I thought was kind of a high cutthroat financial corporate services of the world, but it was just nothing to what you can compare to a wartime environment in the military. And that's the exact attitude that I took, Carrie, all the way into entrepreneurship. And, you know, just like you, with you just to saying, hey, I'm going to do the podcast to get better. And I'm going to do 2 a day, 3 a day if I need to, because that's just what I'm going to do. I had the same attitude with my daily interview show of entrepreneurs. I said, I'm going to do the thing. And when people said it couldn't be done, the real thing is they should have been saying is, I'm not disciplined enough to personally get that done, because that's what it meant. But I was disciplined as an individual to make it happen. And 2,000 episodes in a row, that's living proof.
Hey, and I remember that call when we were on with Cliff, and you were really uncertain. You weren't, you know, you didn't know what it was going to turn out to be.
I was a fawn in the forest. Yeah. I was a little baby doe. I was Bambi.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but I remember you being very tentative and uncertain, and I don't want to say insecure, that's not, but inexperienced. You hadn't done it.
Oh, totally.
I'd been slaving away probably for 6 months before then, and I knew that I was better than when I started, but I wasn't anywhere near where I wanted to be. But man, you just started. So I'm not going to ask you the secret to your success, because that's a silly question. And the fact is, you teach people how to do it. So what is the secret of your students' success? Because that, you know, you don't really know anything about anything until you try to teach somebody what you're doing. Then all of a sudden you learn, gee, I didn't really know I was doing it a certain way. It's teaching becomes a self-revelation of things that you have done that you didn't even know you were consciously doing.
You know, there's just such a correlation to the movie Karate Kid in this. And let me kind of get there in a second, but I wanted to just kind of maybe plant that seed for people who have seen that movie. But I run the largest podcasting community in the world, Podcasters Paradise. We have over 3,500 members. I launched it 4 years ago. It's generated over $4.5 million in revenue, and new people are joining every single day. I still do live webinars every other week doing that as well. So I am just completely committed to that community. And one of the things I love seeing more than anything else is when people post in the group about their success. But I'll tell you, Cary, where that success comes from is people posting and they're saying, hey, I launched my podcast 2 years ago, and for 6 months, nothing, crickets, almost no downloads. But then at month seven, something happened. I'm not even sure what. And I started getting a little more downloads here and there. And then it just continued to snowball, not crazily, but it just continued to snowball. And finally, here I am 2 years later, 3 years later for some people. And they're like, and I'm starting to see the massive results of all this work that I put in. And I couldn't be more happy. And this is my results. And so they'll post it, they'll share it. And for me, it always comes back to the fact that they remained consistent, because that is the key to their success, is they were consistent. They set a goal, they launched their podcast, they stuck to that goal. And now one day they woke up and they said, wow, this is actually working. Like, it really was like that. Now, why did I drop that Karate Kid reference earlier? Because we all remember when Karate Kid was painting the fence, or when he was sanding the floor. And then he's like, what am I even doing? I don't even get it. I'm not making any progress. And then, of course, you know, he says, Daniel-san, wax on. And then, boom, there's one of your moves. Paint the fence. Boom, there's the other block. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the light bulb turned on in his eyes, just like I've seen it turn on in the eyes of so many podcasters. Let me just tell you, podcasting, it doesn't happen right away for most people. If you're Tim Ferriss, you know, if Will Smith launched a podcast, like, it will happen quickly for those people.
Sure.
But for the other 99.9% of us, it's a grind. Nobody knew the name John Lee Dumas. Like, nobody knew that name, but I had to every day show up and get in front of people and one by one win over fans, win over listeners, win over followers, and get to where I'm at today, clawing and scraping every step of the way, all back to my consistency. And then one day, Cary, I woke up, just like all of those of my clients that I just mentioned to you. I woke up, they woke up, and they said, wow, look at this. I've done it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, somebody, I think it was a guy at Podfest, asked me, what was the most embarrassing moment in your podcasting career? And I said, the first 30 episodes, because I have them. They're around. They're on my computer. I got to tell you, I prefer to forget where they're located. But, you know, listening to them, I was a stumble bum. I couldn't connect three words together. And yet somehow people started listening. They started ripping off my podcast to YouTube with certain people, which is fine. I don't really care as long as they leave my intro and outro on.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just spell my name right. You could do it now. That's my policy because, you know, hey, let more people find out. And one day the words just started flowing. So I totally know what you mean. It's wax on, wax off. It's consistency. There was a podcast I listened to called the Gold Seek Radio, still around. I listened to it for years before I started doing it myself. And every night, every Friday night at around midnight, he would release an episode. And it was a weekly podcast, couple hours long. He did a phenomenal job, a little overproduced, but that's besides the point. In any event, on the few occasions when he wouldn't download it then, or it didn't come up for some reason or whatever, I found myself like kind of a little angry, a little peeved that, hey, man, you like promised. It's like an unwritten promise. It's going to be up there. And that, to me, demonstrates the power of consistency, the value, and the commitment. It really requires a commitment to be consistent. I'm still not always there myself in my real life and in podcasting at times, but consistency is king.
You know, I get shocked when people expect that they're going to be good at podcasting when they first start doing it. Like, who in the world has ever been good at anything the first time they did it? Like, the very first time they did any kind of actual skill. Like, was Tiger Woods a great golfer the very first time he picked up a club? Or could Michael Jordan, you know, knock down a three the very first time he picked up a basketball? Of course not. Those people put in their 10,000 plus hours. And I mean, there's so many people right now who we look up to and rightfully so admire that still can't string three words together. I mean, I just listened to an interview. I think it was either on Freakonomics or Planet Money, maybe How I Built This, one of those big shows. And they were interviewing Richard Branson. And dude, I wanted to rip my hair out because that guy was just a stumbling, mumbling, stuttering dude. And I'm like, this is Richard Branson. And this guy owns an island and he's incredible. I would love to, you know, well, I have actually met him in person, but, you know, I would love to hang out with him more. And like, he's just such a cool dude. But man, that guy was barely listenable to me on these podcast episodes that I heard him. And I was just like, I would be editing the crap out of these things. But guess what? It doesn't matter because he has other skills and other things that he's great at. So to me, it's always just like, what do you want to become great at? Like, I wanted to become great at podcasting. Kerry wanted to become great at podcasting. What do? We flipping podcasted our faces off. And we've got the episode numbers to prove it. What do you want to become great at? Yeah. Just do that thing. Like, keep doing that thing. And then guess what? You're going to get a little bit better every single time.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit to what you said, the reason why people think they could do podcasting, be a hit from the first episode, or do radio is they listen to people on talk radio or podcasters and they say, well, he talks, I can talk, or she talks, I talk even better. I speak even better. I have better diction. I have better articulation. And yet, when you're on the mic, when you're recording, there's a whole different skill level, skill set that kicks in. Talking is the least of it, you know, and most of what you talk about in your day-to-day life, frankly, is pretty worthless. So just because you can talk doesn't mean you can podcast.
Truth.
Very true. So, hey, as far as Podcaster's Paradise, so you've got thousands of people go through it. I'm sure the vast majority really can't say enough good things. Who is the best Podcaster's Paradise student you've encountered?
Wow. We've had some phenomenal Podcast Paradise students. I will say probably the most successful was Tim Ferriss. You know, I mean, he has now probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest, then the biggest business podcasting show right now. It's just gets hundreds and hundreds of thousands of listens per episode, and he's just killing it on every single level. So that would be it. Another really, really successful person is the author of The Miracle Morning. His name is Hal Elrod. Hal went through it, and Hal's been through some crazy stuff in his life. Like, he had such a terrible accident at a young age. It kind of gave him perspective, and then he kind of came out of that. But then then just like a year ago, went into just like this incredible, well, went through this incredibly difficult cancer situation where for a lot of people didn't think he was going to make it out of it, himself included. And what was one thing that he was able to keep doing through that? That was podcasting. You know, he is laying in his hospital bed, you know, not a lick of hair on his head, like wasn't feeling like being on any kind of video or anything, but he could still pick up his iPhone, speak into it for a few minutes, and then publish it out to all of his fans and followers and listeners who cared about him and make that happen. And for him, that was just such a huge experience. And so I think overall, like to me, that's just such a success story from Podcasters Paradise of somebody who, you know, would have literally in a different time or age would have just gone dark from everybody that he knew for that like 6 or 8 months where he was just completely hovering, you know, between life and death, with his, you know, when he was dealing with cancer, was able to stay connected in a really meaningful way.
Yeah, that's a touching story. And it shows the power of podcasting, not just to the audience, but to the podcaster as well.
True.
Probably he'd credit it with his recovery. Hey, one other thing that I want to talk about a little bit about cryptocurrencies, because we know all about them. The freedom.
You know all about
them. Yeah, well, you know a little something. You're getting into them, and I wanted to get your take. But the Freedom Journal, which in your Wikipedia entry says, a faux leather-bound journal to help individuals set and accomplish a goal in 100 days. Well, I don't like the word faux, but in any event, how does this thing work?
That's interesting. We'll talk about that offline because I'm curious. But so the Freedom Journal is really just a solution for the problems that my listeners were having. So my listeners were coming to me and saying, John, we see all of your guests. They're successful because they're setting goals. They're accomplishing goals. How do I set and accomplish goals? I don't even know how to do that. And I was hearing that enough where I was finally saying, hey, why not create the solution for this major problem? And so that was how the idea birthed of the Freedom Journal. And the idea was, listen, I'm going to give a 100-day guide, a step-by-step guide of how to set a SMART goal, which is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So a SMART goal. And then over those 100 days, you are going to follow my step-by-step guidance to accomplish that goal. And every single day and evening, so a morning and an evening, you have specific tasks to follow in this journal. Every 10 days, you're doing what I call 10-day sprints to accomplish these little micro goals along your journey. And then every 25 days, we have what's called a quarterly review where you look back over the previous 25 days to see what went right, what went wrong, and, you know, some possible solutions to what went wrong, maybe ways to amplify what went right. And to be honest, it's just an example of where I tell all of my podcast hosts who are looking to create products for their audiences, I say, ask them what their problem is, and then create the solution. And that's exactly what I did with the Freedom Journal. And when I offered it to my audience, we did it in the form of a Kickstarter campaign. In just 33 days, we did over $453,000 in sales for a $39 faux leather journal. And it just really blew my mind that that could happen. So, you know, we then, of course, went and mass produced the thing, and now we sell the crap out of them on Amazon. I even created a follow-up journal to that called The Mastery Journal, How to Master Productivity, Discipline, and Focus in 100 Days. And so those sell as a pair together on Amazon as well. And they typically do between $20,000 to $40,000 any given month on Amazon very consistently. So it's just been a great example of, even in 2018, you know, you can think about doing a physical product if it's the right physical product, because I've had a lot of people who said, John, I don't care, this is going to cost me literally as much to ship the journal to me as it would to buy it. I want the physical journal to hold in my hands. And we've had people literally spend $60 to ship a $39 journal to them. And it's just a testament to ask your audience what they want and provide them the answer.
I love it. It's great. Hey, my thing is, like always, do 5 things every day to accomplish your goal. Whether they're small, medium, or large, just do 5 things a day. You'll accomplish it. And sometimes I forget my own advice, but it's always worked. I mean, at one time I was trying to sell a family business. I was partners with my brother. We weren't enjoying each other's company any longer. And for 9 months, every day I went to work and I did five things to get that business sold. And it took me close to a year. I sold it myself, no investment bankers involved, no brokers, nothing. Sold it to my largest competitor, got an incredible price and got my freedom. And that was what made me realize it worked. If you just do five things a day, no matter how trivial they might seem, it might be just, you know, creating a new link for something, whatever it is, it's five things. Eventually you'll do the five right things and you'll accomplish it. So onto cryptos, you're a newcomer to the cryptocurrency space, digital cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum. I mean, I could go down the list. There's actually over 2,000 of them. Most of them are scams, but what's your take on it? Because you're an innovator. You're always a couple steps ahead of the market as a whole, at large. What are you seeing here in this space now?
Listen, to me, it couldn't come soon enough. I mean, I believe that blockchain and cryptocurrency is absolutely the future for all the right reasons. And I'm really fired up about it. I mean, nothing gets me more angry, actually. And I don't go to anger quickly because I just feel like it's kind of a wasted emotion in a lot of scenarios. But when people are just like, oh my God, I will be terrified when there's self-driving cars. Like I will be scared to get into a car. I'll never do it. I'm like, you're the worst driver in the world. You are literally death on wheels. You're texting and you're driving and you're answering calls and you're spilling coffee on yourself. You're literally the worst. And here we are going to bring something that is probably, honestly, not immediately, of course, is going to be struggles, but down the line, you know, is going to potentially reduce fatalities to almost non-existent. And you're because people hate change, Carrie. And that's me. That's where I'm the opposite. I detest stagnation and I love change. And most people are terrified of change and love stagnation. And that's why they're fat and that's why they're poor. And to me, when you love change, you're fit and you're potentially rich. And I am both of those things. And I love change. And guess what? It bites me in the ass sometimes. It really does, because I make mistakes and I break things and I do this and I do that. But I'm willing to trade that for the times when I do and I am able to knock it out of the park. So for me, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, 100% the future. You know, every government in the world is corrupt down to its core.
You think? You've been listening to my show too much, I think.
I cannot wait until we can just, you know, completely just, you know, circumnavigate all of that. And of course, you know, there's unintended consequences to everything. I mean, you know, when we do figure out how to circumnavigate and do all these things, there's going to be some unintended consequences that happen and all these different things. But to me, it has to happen. It is the future. I'm excited. Right now, I'm on board with something that I'd be kind of curious to get your take on, because I have actually zero affiliation with this company. I've seen them on CNBC a few times, I'm hoping they're kind of legitimate, but I have no idea. But I just wasn't sure about the whole buying Bitcoin and Ethereum and Litecoin and doing the whole cold storage thing. I just didn't want to kind of go down that road, but I wanted to have some skin in the game, I should say. So I did my research and I did find a company called Bitwise. And what I loved about them was the fact that they're an index fund where you invest X number of dollars. I think it's a minimum $10,000 investment, X number of dollars with them. And they evenly distribute your funds across the top 10 Bitcoins. Evenly, I mean, it's weight distributed. So like Bitcoin's like 47%. I think Ethereum's 22. I could pull it up right now, but then like, you know, Litecoin's like whatever, all the way down to like Eon, which is like 1.4% or whatever. So the top 10, as they see it, cryptocurrencies of that moment, you're in at that index level. And then every month they take it out of cold storage and redistribute into whatever's happened over that past month.
Sure.
And it's a flat 2.5% fee per year on whatever revenue that you've on whatever money you've invested into that. And the company's called Bitwise, and that's how I'm currently in the cryptocurrency game. So I have 10 cryptocurrencies, part of my portfolio, but through this company called Bitwise.
Okay. I'm not all that familiar. I've heard about it. There's other ETFs coming to market now. The good thing is, look, we can say a lot of bad things about Wall Street. I mean, just give me two or three days on your show. I'll tell you everything. I lived by these people. They were my neighbors, friends. Forget it. But when you've got a fund and it's in a fiduciary relationship, and this is their algorithm, effectively their investment philosophy spelled out, they're not going to deviate from it, and everything is auditable and transparent, and they're good people. I don't know the people involved there, but they appear to be experienced professionals who, you know, assuming that they're all clean, their past, which I got to believe, or they wouldn't put them up there. It's probably going to be a good way as any to do it. And you get rid of a lot of the risks, a lot of the taxable issues, because every time you sell the stuff at a profit, you're right. supposed to pay taxes on it.
Unless you're in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well, you know, and then you got security concerns. I'm sure that these guys are insured by somebody like Lloyd's of London. So you've got a lot of capability that you can't do on your own. And then you've got all these scammers. So, you know, it sounds like a very viable way to invest in it. I am going to check it out more. But
I would love your feedback on that, because you're somebody who I feel like would be able to kind of root out some things there. Because, you know, I went into this eyes wide open. Believe me, you know, Bernie Madoff was considered an experienced and professional by thousands of people. So, you know, I know anything is possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there were plenty of telltale signs. You know, cryptocurrencies are very cyclical, but their cycles are compressed, whereas we're in a stock market bull up until recently, at least, and probably it's going to continue on, in my opinion, 9 years. Now, in 9 years, all that happened was $1 invested in the stock market became four. In cryptocurrencies, in 9 years, $1 invested in Bitcoin at one point was worth $5 million. It's probably at this point worth $1.5 million to $2 million.
Wow.
And in that time, though, you've had these crashes. I would call them micro crashes, where you just lose 25% in one day. You have no idea why. So it's not for the faint-hearted. This could easily be a good way for people that don't want to get ulcers or heart attacks from watching the gyrations of the market to invest. So we're going to check it out. I will get back to you on it. And hey, so that pretty much wraps it up. Just tell us top two or three websites to go look for you on.
Well, all the magic for us happens at eofire.com. That's where those free courses are that we talked about earlier. There's a free course on podcasting, webinars, funnels, goals, productivity, just free value right there. eofire.com.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, John. And if you got any questions for John, myself, about any show we've done, email us kl@kerrylutz.com. We'd love for you to be part of the show. John, been a total pleasure. Good luck. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Kerry.
This has been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.